Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in to our boardroom chat once again. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be kind of unique. I'm going to ask you a question.
It's always unique.
And don't be shocked.
Oh.
Are you ready?
No.
You're not ready?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
What sex are you?
I'm a female.
No, you're not.
I'm not?
No.
What am I?
I'm going to show you what you are.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 3.
I'm shocked. Are you shocked?
Are she shocked? Galatians chapter 3, verse 28.
Okay.
There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So the reason why I asked you that is why can't you pastor? Why can't you preach?
Well, I think I do.
I know. Why would anybody fight that whatsoever? Because whom the Lord calls, he uses.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? That's why I wanted to start off with that. Now, I know what you was thinking. You thought you might be transgender.
No.
But you see, it just irritates. And I know what the Apostle Paul said about women should be silent in the church. And we understand what he's saying and the reason for it and the context that he's saying it. But he's not dealing with her as a woman or dealing with me as a man. He's dealing with what God gave a revelation to him, that there's neither Jew nor Greek. And you know, but before the Jews couldn't handle the Greeks, and the Greeks couldn't handle the Jews. Bond, no free, no slave. No, male or female. Even in the garden, he called Eve Adam. He created male and female, created he them, not him, but them, and called them, not him, Adam. Adam.
Yeah.
Think about that. And Adam changed it to Eve.
Yeah.
He called her Eve.
A lot of times when the Bible uses the word man in Scripture, it's referring to mankind.
Right.
And so Paul even said, I know no man after the flesh, meaning he didn't recognize, he didn't have a distinction when he saw a gift of God in someone, whether they were male, female, old or young.
That's it.
Timothy was very young and he brought him up in the faith and he was
Amen.
A spiritual son, but he placed him in charge of what was the largest church at that time, which was
Amen.
Ephesus. And he, of course, watched over him and everything, but he recognized that God did that. There was a judge called Deborah in the Old Testament, a prophetess called Huldah. If you don't know about her, you can go and look at her. There was a prophetess that was around the time of the birth of Jesus that was stayed continually in the temple. Her name was Anna, and she spoke and declared some things
and
that people
Philip's
received.
Daughters.
Philip's daughters. He had four of them that were evangelists.
Amen.
Right?
I mean, it's amazing. And then Paul, Phoebe, prophets. Aquila, and Priscilla, all the different
Chloe, who he entrusted the whole book of Romans to deliver it to the Romans there.
So I'm going to say something. I'm going to get some criticism. Girl, if God called you to preach this gospel as an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, accept the calling. Now, I know I just made a bunch of religious people
Well, we're
mad,
not going to have to answer
but that's
a man.
The Bible.
We'll have to answer to God. We'll have to answer to God
that's
for responding to what he's called us to do rather than bowing down to what men say. Now, you can't take one scripture and make a whole doctrine out of it, which is what a lot of people have done with that
right.
scripture that says women keep silent in the church. But it doesn't bear out even common sense, if you think about it, because you've often, and you've been saying it lately, if you're silent in the church, you can't sing on the platform. If you let them sing on the platform, but you don't let them preach, you're a hypocrite.
Greeters?
If you let them greet in the front of the church or teach in the Sunday school or send them off on the mission field to be over maybe like 10, 20, maybe 100 different churches and organizations or works, whether it be orphanages or churches, and that's okay
right.
in the foreign field, but not in the U.S., you're a hypocrite. So it doesn't even make sense.
And the next verse says, let me read verse 28 again. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, now this is what you are.
Oh.
Now I'm going to tell you what you are.
Yeah.
And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed.
Wow.
And heirs according to the promise.
Hmm.
That's what we are.
Amen.
And I'm amazed that, now watch it, when Kathy married me, she submits to my authority. I submit to her authority, which makes us one.
Right. We not submit to one another.
That's my point. Mm-hmm. You see, not less a lesser species or whatever, just simply a covenant.
He sees us as one because the seed of Abraham is singular, not plural, not seeds,
right.
Seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. Mary, when she received the word of that she would from the angel that she would give birth to the Son of God, the seed of came into her, the seed
That's
of Jesus
correct.
Christ. So when we believe in Jesus, we become a seed of Abraham. We partake of that
Amen.
Same covenant. We partake of the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. All of it comes through that person of Jesus Christ, and we're one. As far as he's concerned, he doesn't see male, female.
No.
He doesn't see Jew or Greek.
A bond
All
free.
The walls of separation came down.
And, you know, when you understand that Abraham is the father of our faith, then we ought to do what our father says to do. And what did he do? He was the tither.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you want to struggle about tithing? You know, I mean, it's just amazing. Why don't you just tell the truth? You don't want to do it. You don't want to give. That just be honest. You know what I'm trying to say? But you know what? Yeah. I am going to follow the examples that God placed in Scripture for me. And that is Abraham is the father of faith. Of course, naturally, Jesus Christ, everything. And Paul even said, follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, it's just amazing to me. I don't know why people are maybe insecure or what, because a woman is their boss. You know, I was watching Fox Business the other day, and they had several guests on and that were head of major, major corporations. I mean, big corporations dealing with business, you know, on the Wall Street and all that kind of stuff. And they were women. And them women were brilliant and smart. You could, they would never be a CEO of a company. They couldn't, but it had nothing to do with them being women. They may have had to fight harder to get that because
what
they
wasn't. What do you mean they would never be over a company?
Yeah, but
clarify
back in the
that.
Day, it was a man's world.
That's what you meant. Years
that's what
ago,
I meant. It was
ago.
A man's world. You know, you can't.
But today, things people wising up.
Well, I think finally, right. You see what I'm saying? And when you understand that, and then it goes further than just being a man or a woman. You begin to see yourself as you see, like you said, that we Abraham seed and heirs according to what to the promise. What promise? The promise of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now look at what he says in chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, whoo, Lord, I like that. Son, that means family, sons and daughters. God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to say something going to make somebody really mad. I have a right to everything that belongs to me. I have a right to be blessed a hundredfold. I have a right to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I have a right to be saved and know Jesus Christ as Lord. I have a right to be healed. I have all rights given to me because I'm an heir with the Father and an heir with his Son, Jesus Christ.
I like that. That's so good.
I have a right. Now, you know, if you don't know your rights, you can be stolen from all your life. Think about that. It makes no difference. Watch this. Let's take it even stronger. What color or nationality or creed you are. Man separated colors. God called it the human race. That's what he calls us. And we have, and one of the greatest compliments that we get at Covenant Church, where Kathy's pastor, is that they say you have a multicultural church, and I want to correct them because I know they're looking at color. We have black people, brown people, you know. I said no, we have a church. I call it Covenant Church. We don't know you black, and that's the truth. You can come, you can find out. We don't know you brown, Hispanic, or white, you know, Caucasian. Or a red American Indian or yellow Asian or whatever. I don't know how to get yellow out of it. I've never seen a yellow Asian person in my life, you know, but I guess they.
Well, it's a variation of a yellow,
I guess. But see, to me, it's so.
They have to make distinctions.
Yeah. Why don't we just recognize people the way God created them? And he created the human race. And then he did something that was amazing, even angels marveled. That was Genesis 1 when he said in the first chapter of Genesis, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Then he gave them what God has, and I will give them dominion over everything, fish, sea, fowl, air, over everything that creeps on the earth. And he gave gifts. My Lord, I mean, it was just the most amazing thing, because when God created the human race, and of all the species that God has created in the natural, we're the weakest. We're not as strong
physically,
as angels. Yeah, I'm
talking
about physically. But yet, we're sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. So when I approach the throne of God in my devotion, God don't treat me any better than when Kathy approaches the throne of God with her devotion, simply because I'm a man and she's a woman. But what God sees is this. Come closer, got it? Mm-hmm. One. You see what I'm saying? And if she hinders me, she comes again, she hinders my prayers. And if I hinder her, I hinder her prayers. You got to
argue, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Disagree.
Yeah, I mean, you don't realize how strong covenant is. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of times me and Kathy may disagree on something, because she's got to figure it out, or I got to figure it out. But we learn to disagree on something till we get the knowledge of it without being disagreeable.
Yeah.
Just that simple. And when you understand what God is saying here, this is who we are.
Right.
He says, so you're an American. No, I'm the seed of Abraham. Yes, I live in the United States of America. Yes, I was born here. At least I believe I was. I don't remember. See, you don't remember that's your mom and your daddy. Now watch that. Yeah, but all we got to do is take DNA. You know, DNA is not perfect. Now, it's very close, but it says you're 98%. That's got to be your son. Well, what about the 2%? You see, even at 2%, it could be an error. You see what I'm saying? But, I mean, usually it's not. But I'm just saying, you got to understand, but when God made us, it was one of the most amazing things. And I think one of the greatest things he ever did was when he created Mary, knowing that she would become the mother of God in the natural, that God became flesh and dwelt among men. That's something Satan couldn't understand at all. You've heard me say this before. Satan knew Jesus was the Messiah. And without a fact, no one could do the miracles that he did. But he did not know he was the Son of God, because he couldn't figure out, and you've heard me say it before, how could God get into this earth and fix everything that he polluted? He didn't think he'd sin himself, but he did, that we might become the righteousness of God. And in Satan says it in his own self, if we'd have known, he didn't know, we'd have never crucified him. And if you hear him talking to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, you can just see this through the, well, centuries of different things. And it's just amazing to me that people won't accept the word from God because it might be from a lady. Buddy, if God tells you, tell me something, I don't care if you're female. Tell me what the Lord said. And it's just literally that simple. You know, and God told me to speak about this today. And, why are they fighting in the Middle East? Because they look at each other as Jews and Arabs, Jews and Palestinians, Jews and Jordanians, Jews and Egyptians.
Yeah.
I don't know, all these different things.
And
it's amazing to me. And what does that cause? Chaos. Chaos. You see what I'm saying? When we ought to look at each other the way God Almighty looks at each other. You know, when I think of the Middle East, you know what I think of? I don't think of all that fighting. I think camels and Christmas. Crossing the desert. And I think, man, I mean, Bethlehem and, you know, I mean, because we're Christians, you know, and Christmas is my favorite time of the year. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. And yet, such a big fight, Kathy.
It is, you know, and I just love Christianity, because when Jesus came, he really set everyone free, including and especially the female. Every woman out here should be so thankful for Jesus and Christianity, because he came to open our eyes to the truth. He set people free. He recognized women.
Oh, did he?
There were a lot of women that followed him in his ministry and supported his ministry.
Partners.
The culture that he was in, he appointed all of the disciples with him that were male,
sure.
But there were a lot of females that followed him around. There were 120 in that upper room, and that they were part of that group that watched Jesus ascend. And
who was the first evangelist?
A woman, Mary Magdalene, who went there because she sought after him.
But where were the disciples?
They were hiding
in
a locked room.
Now, you think about that for a minute. Think of some of the greatest women in the world have done some of the most phenomenal things.
I know.
And yet not looked upon, not recognized.
I really think that the devil is terrified of women and intimidated. Yeah. This is why he is
orchestrated. He's scared of us, but he's scared of women.
He's orchestrated this a massive propaganda campaign to keep women down and oppressed. And he's actually convinced a lot of women, and they've become his evangelists as well, repeating that stupid lie. But the thing is that everywhere that you see Satan dominating or Jesus is not lifted up in the true scriptures, there women are oppressed. Look at the Muslim nations where they're covered up head to toe, yet they still abuse them, and, you know, that doesn't stop the lust and the sin. Let me tell you something.
The thing I don't understand at all about Islam, I know I'm going to get somebody mad about this, because I've heard people that, embrace Islam, they might be called radicals, but if a man rapes this woman, they kill her, because they say, what? She's covered from the head to the toe, except maybe could barely see. And, she made me do that. No, you devil from hell. You're the one that did that.
It doesn't even make sense.
I mean, it makes no sense at all. There's a new two words that have come into America lately since President Trump has won the election. Yeah. It's called common sense.
Yeah, it's starting
Common sense. Yeah. But sometimes common sense is not common to some people.
Huckabee said that years ago.
Yeah,
common sense is not common.
Yeah, it's not, and it's amazing.
But it needs to become common. And we can find out what God has to say about the subject when we read all of this, because God could have just created his son the way he created Adam and dropped him in the earth, let him maybe brought him to parents that could have raised him. But no, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And it says, therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. Now, the Passion Translation says this so much better. Let me just read this for you. It says, this was, verse 5, yet when all of this was so that he could redeem and set free all of those held hostage to the written law so that we could receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as his children, and so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, you are our true Father. And verse 7 says, now we are no longer living like slaves under the law.
Praise God.
But we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we are his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah. Every one of us, female, female.
I have to say something about the law. Let me tell you something about the law. It's wonderful. It was beautiful. It was perfect. The only one that kept it was Jesus. He fulfilled it, but he didn't throw it away. God had to put the law down to show man that they could not keep the law.
That they needed a savior.
So that grace would be birthed into the earth.
Yes.
Do you see my point?
Yes.
Now, Kathy, I'd like you to read in the Passion Translation, Galatians 3, 28 and 29. I wanted you to read that earlier. Neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond, nor free.
Verse 28 says, and we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ with no distinction between us. And since you've been united with to Jesus, the Messiah, you are now Abraham's child and inherit all the promises of the kingdom realm.
Now, you know, and notice in the Passion, it said, instead of a bond or free, it said rich or poor. Mm. You see, a slave had nothing, zero, and yet the master had it all. Not in God's eyes. It don't exist. Now, that ought to make you shout.
Right.
Which means a rich person is not better than you are.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form. Think about that.
And the little reference point, when it says rich or poor in the Passion Translation, it says enslaved or free.
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something.
There's bondage in
debt. What prosperity will do for you. Boy, I'm going to get a lot of people mad at me.
Prosperity. You know how often you've said that this time?
I know what I'm saying. We're saying some very radical things right now.
It's really,
yeah. Watch this. Prosperity will get you out of what I call bondage. Will stop you from being a slave.
A slave.
To not enough.
Yeah.
not enough. Mm-hmm. or just enough, or barely get by.
Yeah.
Come on.
Or making you envious and resentful of others that have more than you.
Yeah, everybody's so worried that you might fall in love with money. Man, the kind of man I am, I'm going to give you a shot. I don't want you to fall in love with the love of money is the root of all evil. But you live in an economic world, so you need finance. So I pray that you're blessed.
Yes.
If you start to see yourself leaning toward that, then back away from that. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I am a very blessed man. Kathy is a very blessed woman. Nobody gave it to her. We work like dogs and still work like dogs. I don't know why we say work like dogs.
I don't know why either.
Well, most of those canine dogs, they work some.
They're pretty hard. So they got a lot of lazy puppies out there.
They got a lot of lazy puppies too, you know. But when you understand, it's just such a blessing for you not to be under financial pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of divorces, I've heard a lot of, quote, psychologists, and therapists say a lot of people divorce because of financial pressure. I mean, because it can happen, boy. You know, and I had one man tell me, suppose you lost everything. What would you do? Start over. You see, but now they may be able to take this, you know, or something like that, yeah, but they can't take what's in me. What is that? Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I tell you what, it's just such a blessing to be blessed. And you know, I was raised very poor as a child. And I know we had some rough times, I misunderstand. But I was happy most of the time. Not all the time, by no means. My father and them, I have to just say, they didn't know how to discipline. They, you know, they believe in discipline, and I understand, but they, he would lose his temper and, or vice versa. And, I mean, it hurt you, and he shouldn't have done that. Today, they would take children away from people, you know, because they believe in not spanking, whipping. And hard, I mean, just hard. And it was wrong because it was abuse. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I think they knew they were doing it. I got to give them the benefit of that. I don't think so because they were raised that way myself.
Themselves,
I mean. And, but when me, when I was, when we had Jody, we didn't do that. Uh-uh. That doesn't mean we did not discipline her. In fact, did I tell them that story when you were mad at Jody? I came off the road. It was so funny, man. Jody was about five.
I wasn't mad at her. I know she needed to be
just
corrected. And
yeah,
I needed reinforcement.
Well, you
I was always there by myself. Yeah, I was always the bad guy.
Let me tell you in French, she was fâché. She was mad at you. She said, you go in there and you spank her. I thought to myself, I can't do that. We can punish her. So I brought Jody in the room and closed the door.
I didn't want to do it either.
I had a belt in my hand. And I said, come here, Jody. Come here. And she goes, well, she was scared, you know, because you know. I said, now listen, I want you to holler like a crazy person. I'm going to hit this bed with this belt. You scream, you holler, loud as you can. You got that? Okay, then. Wham, I'm hitting the bed. Oh, Kathy said, don't hit her too hard. And I said, now act like it happened. We opened the door, but I think you figured it out or something. Did you figure it out?
I don't remember
that. You remember me doing
that. I'm sure
that.
But I just wanted her
to
obey me and listen, because I had her best.
Do you remember me and Jody doing that?
No. Y'all didn't tell me till later. You didn't tell me away. I didn't know.
You were still mad. But we didn't walk in. See, when Kathy get mad, she don't hit you. She just tells you, her finger comes out like this. Go. So me and Jody, we get out of the house. The dog went, the cat went. I get out of the house, Kathy mad. You know, that kind of stuff. And it was so funny. Eventually, we told her that. Now, we would punish her. Well, Kathy would punish her. I just couldn't do that. I would tell her, Jody, just don't do that, for God's sake. Huh?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know.
And so you started saying things like, Jody, I'd let you have it, but your mama.
Oh, I said, Jody, I'd give it to you, but your mama don't want you to have it. You know, it's your mama. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure maybe, now I'm going to assume something here. Maybe if Mary is a little irritated with Jesus, I believe Joseph said, listen, man, I give it to you, but it's your mama. I don't know. Your food for thought.
Mothers know.
Oh, mothers know. They sharper. They smarter. Yeah. They figure that out real quick and everything. I wanted to bring this to your attention because I want this to be an uplifting thing that you not a lower species if you're a woman.
Right.
And you not a dumb man. What you are is the seed of Abraham. You have a spirit housing a soul and clothed in a body, and in your spirit, if you're born again, is a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the reason why we preach this gospel. That's the reason why we ask people to partner with us. Why? So we can get your money? No. So we can reach people and change lives one soul at a time, because we live in an economic world. To do this program, this one right here, what you're seeing right now, you know how many people behind the scenes that I got to pay so we can do this? How much equipment I got to buy so we can do this? Have people on staff? You have no idea what's going on.
And then we send it out to be translated into Spanish, which is not cheap. It's very expensive.
It's very expensive.
So that we can have everything that we do on social media to be reproduced in another language, because we're called to reach people and change lives one soul at a time, whether they be English speaking or Spanish speaking.
I'm going to ask somebody in the studio behind the camera. Go ask George how much it costs for me to translate in Spanish. I think it's over $200,000. That's a lot of money. I think so. I'm not quite sure, but I don't want to say something that's not right. $216,000 if you're a Spanish-speaking person and you're listening to this today. Mm-hmm. So I ask you to be a partner. I ask you to help us so we can preach this gospel that you can understand.
And I wonder how many followers we have on our Spanish app. Can y'all just give me that figure as well?
Can anybody figure that out?
I know that we are having like a million followers since we've been doing it.
I'm not sure. They'll find out.
Or engagements,
and if we can't do it on this chat, we'll let you know on the next chat. Or
George knows. He's Spanish. George
is really good at what he does. Yeah. But so I ask you to partner with us. If you'd like to do that, just go to jdm.org. That's our website. And you can hit a donate button. The amount is up to you. You can use PayPal if you want. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. Or you can go to our JDM free app and select the giving you want. Or you can mail in an old-fashioned check donation, whatever. And I'm going to tell you something. 100% of it goes into world evangelism. It doesn't come to her. It didn't come to me. It goes into world evangelism. And you know what? I don't mind asking you to be that, because I do it myself. Me and Kathy are partnered this ministry. And I know what you would think. Well, you're giving to yourself. No, I'm not. There's a vast difference between Jesse and Kathy the Planets and Jesse the Planets Ministries. And all you got to do is ask the IRS about that. They will tell you that. It's a vast difference. One's a corporation, and us, we are just people like you are. So pray about doing that. I tell people all the time, we've had over 91 million people going on our fifth year that has contacted us through social media in some way, shape, or form. I've asked the Lord for every dollar given to give us a soul into the kingdom.
Yeah.
So I can tell people when I see a woman that's depressed because somebody's suppressing her, hey, excuse me, lift your head up.
That's right.
Lift your head up, because you need the male or female, Jew or Greek, bond or free. You're the seed
God
of Abraham.
God sees you as one in Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
It's such a blessing.
I just got that answer from George.
Okay,
that social media views just this month has had 1.2 million views. And just in our Spanish translations of all of the things that we do on a platform, everything on social media is translated into Spanish. But we've had over 4.2 million all the views. But out of that, 1.2 is Spanish, so that's significant.
That's very significant.
So God's really increasing our outreach, and if you're hearing this in Spanish, I know it's translated, maybe not immediately. We're working on trying to get it more quickly.
Right.
Usually it takes, I don't know if it's a month or however the time factor takes before it gets posted in Spanish, but we had some more equipment we'd have to purchase in order to get some AI things that have just come out. We're researching all of that, but the goal is to get the gospel out and in a timely way. So whatever you can do, partner, you're helping us to do all of that.
And I wish it was free, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You know, people got to make a living. I understand that. So we just ask you to consider it and pray about it. I don't have much. It doesn't take much. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. Kathy, give us a good testimony.
Okay.
Real quick, we just got a few minutes left.
These are great. Helena says, you are both free indeed. Yeshua makes that happen. Greetings from Finland.
Praise the Lord.
And Rama says, wow, I love it. Thank you so much, man of God. Love you, sir. I love your energy. Love this series. Watching from Moscow.
Praise the Lord.
And someone from YouTube says, wow, watching from Uganda. Thank you, Jesus, for technology. I can watch this wonderful revelation filled man of God. He blesses me and gets me laughing all the time.
Isn't that a blessing of the Lord?
Then
who? That's from YouTube, right?
Right.
Praise the Lord. That'll bless. Go ahead, Mom.
And T. Felix, as the handle says, "Hi, Jesse and Kathy. Glory to God. Satan tried to get me focused on financial trouble that hasn't even happened yet. So I sowed a seed and gave God another job. Well, this month, the Lord has arranged for me to move into a place that will save me nearly $900
a
month.
That's a lot for savings.
I know in my nowhere that I have planted seed in good ground.
Ooh,
God
glory.
Bless you both, and I will bring another praise report next month."
You got good, Kathy, good ground, Jesse, good ground, Jesse, President Mitch, good ground. Go ahead. You got any more?
Yes. Peace says, "Kathy and Jesse, your encouraging teachings create an atmosphere of joy and praise always. I love you so much, guys." And this last one says, is from Jamie, says, "You are both such an encouragement. Like a laughing baby, it's impossible to listen to you without lifting up my spirit."
Oh, that blessing.
"You have been such a blessing to me." I love all
encouragement
of this.
Encouragement is the oxygen of the soul.
Breathe.
Breathe.
Yes.
We want to be an encourager instead of discourager.
Amen.
So I hope this program was an encouragement to you today. And I pray that you pray about what God would have you to do concerning becoming a partner to this ministry. We don't ask you to do anything without us doing it ourselves. Let me say this. If the Lord doesn't tell you to do it, then don't do it.
Right.
Now, you're not going to hear many preachers say that. You know that, and I know that. I want you just to be in the will of God. We will continue to do the best we can with what you place in our hands, which is your finance and your trust and your honor.
Yes.
And God said this, "If you honor me, I will honor you." We do that, Kathy.
Right.
Not bragging about that. Till next time, Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. See you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.